Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Before we get to the news, we are interrupting our usual cold open because we have an urgent, severe weather alert for the West Michigan area.
That's right. If you are listening to this on Monday or Tuesday, you need to prepare for a significant and potentially hazardous weather shift. Starting Tuesday around 3 p.m., we are looking at a 73% chance of heavy rain moving into the region.
Right now, we're sitting at a chilly 40 degrees with broken clouds here in Grand Rapids, and it feels more like 35. But this incoming system is going to transition us into a highly unsettled, rainy pattern that could seriously impact your Tuesday afternoon commute.
The primary hazard here is sudden, heavy precipitation, leading to slick roads and poor visibility. As for protective action, you should plan to adjust your travel times if possible. Give yourself plenty of extra stopping distance on the roads, and ensure your headlights and wipers are fully operational. We'll also see temperatures bounce around over the next 30 hours, reaching a high of 58 later today, before dropping back into the upper 30s overnight with patchy frost. So keep an eye on the sky, protect any sensitive plants, and stay safe out there. Transitioning over to our local news, today we're covering a massive housing crisis down in Kalamazoo, where an entire 292-unit apartment complex has been suddenly condemned. And later, we'll dive into the massive, unpermitted motorcycle caravan that took over the East Beltline this weekend, rattling windows and raising a lot of questions about public road use. Let's get into it.
Let's start with a rapidly developing and frankly terrifying situation out of Kalamazoo Township that has suddenly displaced hundreds of people. On May 7th, the Kalamazoo Area Building Authority, known as KABA, condemned the Wildwood Off Main apartment complex.
And we need to emphasize the scale of this. They didn't just condemn a single building with a leaky roof. They condemned all 292 units on the property. That is an entire community suddenly being told their homes are severely unsafe to inhabit.
Exactly. Mike Alwine, the building official for KABA, went on the record stating that the decay across the property was, quote, identical across all the units. The inspectors found rusted and cracked steel framing, along with severely deteriorated decks and stairways.
When you hear cracked steel framing, you are talking about the structural skeleton of the building. And for the decay to be identical across nearly 300 units, that strongly suggests a systemic failure in routine maintenance over a very long period of time.
Right. Rust that compromises structural steel doesn't happen overnight. But this is where the story gets highly contentious. The management at Wildwood Off Main, a company called New Earth Residential, claims they were completely unaware of the extent of the issues until the condemnation notices were literally posted on the doors.
That defense is really hard to swallow. If the stairways and decks are visibly deteriorating to the point where a local building authority steps in and shuts down the entire property, how does the property management company not know? They have maintenance staff. They are supposedly inspecting units when tenants move in and out.
It raises massive questions about their legal and ethical responsibilities. And New Earth Residential isn't just accepting the ruling. They've stated they have retained counsel to formally dispute the condemnation action.
Which puts the hundreds of residents in an excruciating legal limbo. On one hand, you have local government safety officials putting up bright red notices that say all occupancy is strictly prohibited. On the other hand, you have the property managers telling tenants that they are fighting the order and that the township isn't seeking a court order to force an immediate evacuation.
Imagine being a renter there right now. Do you pack up your family and sleep in your car because the building might collapse? Or do you stay because your landlord says the city is overreacting and you don't have anywhere else to go?
It's a nightmare scenario, and it highlights a massive vulnerability for renters in West Michigan. When structural decay reaches a point that triggers a total complex condemnation, the safety net for those displaced tenants is practically non-existent. We'll continue to monitor this as New Earth Residential challenges KABA's findings. But for now, 292 households are facing an incredibly uncertain and unsafe housing situation.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to a story that generated a ton of noise over the weekend here in Grand Rapids. If you live anywhere near the East Beltline, you probably heard this, and you might have thought something was seriously wrong.
Around midnight between May 9th and May 10th, a massive caravan of motorcycles traveled north on the Beltline. A thread on the Grand Rapids subreddit absolutely blew up with residents trying to figure out what was happening.
The descriptions of the noise were intense. One user said it sounded like a helicopter was about to land right on their apartment building. Estimates of the group's size varied wildly, but residents were guessing anywhere from 100 to upwards of 1,000 riders in a single pack.
Online sleuths and local riders quickly identified the event. It's apparently a monthly summer AWOL midnight ride. It's a coordinated, though completely unpermitted, gathering that happens periodically during the warmer months.
And this brings up a massive debate regarding public road use. The East Beltline is a major arterial road. When you have hundreds of motorcycles riding in a pack, it essentially acts as a mobile blockade. It's sometimes referred to as a takeover.
Right, and the noise ordinance violations alone are off the charts. But it puts local law enforcement in an incredibly difficult position. How do you safely manage or intercept a mobile group of 500 to 1,000 motorcycles?
You really can't. If police try to set up a roadblock or initiate traffic stops, they risk causing a massive multi-vehicle pileup. Pursuing them just increases the speed and the danger to the public.
So it becomes this logistical nightmare where the police often just have to monitor the group from a distance and wait for them to disperse. But for the residents living along the Beltline, having your windows rattled at midnight by 1,000 straight-piped engines is incredibly frustrating.
It begs the question of whether there's a legitimate organizational structure behind these AWOL rides. If there are organizers, the city might be able to work with them to route the ride away from dense residential zones, or at least enforce some basic permitting. But a lot of the appeal for the riders in these takeovers is exactly the fact that it's unpermitted and spontaneous. As the weather continues to warm up, this likely isn't the last midnight ride we'll hear roaring up the Beltline this summer.
All right, let's hit a few more local stories real quick before we wrap up today's show.
Sounds good. We've got some updates on local festivals, new ballpark amenities, and a community remembrance.
The 2026 Tulip Time Festival in Holland officially wrapped up on May 10th. On the final day, volunteers were allowed to take home some of the 65,000 forced tulips from the immersion garden, which were specially grown by Dutch horticulturist Ibo Gulsen to ensure peak bloom during the festival.
It's a great way to repurpose those flowers, especially since they have such a short lifespan. And if you missed out, the public annual tulip dig is set for May 30th, where anyone can dig up bulbs from city parks for $10 a bucket.
Over at LMCU Ballpark, fans are buzzing about the new Founders Cap Room on the third base side. It features a massive glass wall looking right into the batting cages and pitcher warm-up areas. Plus, it's fully climate-controlled.
Having air conditioning in July or heat during a freezing April game is a game-changer. It's part of the new Suite Level Family Fair Clubhouse, and it definitely adds a premium, year-round feel to the traditional minor league baseball experience.
Finally, we want to note the passing of Jennifer Ann Rines of Nunica, who died on May 3rd at age 54. She was a deeply active community member, volunteering extensively with Faithful to Felines, Kids Food Basket, the NOAA Project, and Habitat for Humanity.
Her dedication really highlights the quiet, vital role that volunteers play in sustaining local organizations across West Michigan. A memorial visitation was held for her on May 11th in Spring Lake.
That's going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks for tuning in. Remember to heed that severe weather alert and stay safe on the roads tomorrow afternoon. We'll catch you next time.